Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Joe Cipriano, Program Executive Officer for Information Technology at the U.S. Department of Navy. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Bill Phillips. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Joe, since the terrorist attacks, Americans are more acutely aware of our military forces. However, many of our listeners probably are not familiar with the specific missions and the roles of the U.S. Department of Navy. Could you describe the Navy's missions and activities for our listeners?
I'd be glad to. The Department of the Navy is made up of maritime services, the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Marine Corps. And in times of war, the U.S. Coast Guard also become part of the force. The Navy is responsible for all fighting at sea, and the Marine Corps is responsible of fighting from the sea. They project power ashore. We work very closely together, obviously, the Navy and the Marine Corps, to accomplish that mission. There is a common mission that both of these services, in fact, all services share, and that is the mission to train, maintain, and equip the warfighters to fight and win, to maintain freedom of the seas, and to defend against deter aggression.
Can you give us a sense of sort of the size of the Department of Navy in terms of the number of military personnel and also the number of civilians that assist in supporting them?
There's in the Department of the Navy, there is over 900,000 people, so it's a big department. In the Navy, we have about 350,000 or 375,000 active duty, and we have another 170,000 or so in the reserves. We have civilians total about 180,000 of that number, and the Marine Corps has about 212,000 active and reserve members.
What are the challenges of managing essentially three groups under the same umbrella?
Well, there are challenges because obviously there are some differences in culture between the civilians and the military, and also between the Marines and the Navy. But we share a lot of common objectives as well, and we tend to work together in between military and civilian by alternating management levels. And so you will have at one level of management a civilian, the next level up might be a military, the next level up might be a civilian, and so forth. And we tend to, at least in the shore establishment, alternate levels of management so that we have both perspectives at every level. If the principal is a military, the deputy will be a civilian, and vice versa, to get both of those perspectives as we go up. And the military brings an understanding of the mission, understanding of what the end objective is, and the civilian tend to have more in-depth training on the rules of contracting and law and administrative things necessary for procurement and to exercise the other functions. So they bring functional expertise, and the warfighters bring understanding of the mission and focus to the job.
Joe, let's switch gears and talk about your career a little bit. What drew you to the Navy? How long have you been with the Navy? And what has been your career path?
Well, I first joined up with the Navy right out of college. A recruiter came to Baylor University, where I was getting a degree in physics, and they were looking for folks to help with missile programs in the Navy, and that sounded interesting to me. It was the lowest job offer I got, but I took it because it was in California. I'd never been to California, and it sounded like it might be fun. So I went and signed up with the Navy as a civilian. At the time, became a missile guy. Stayed in the weapons and combat systems business for about the first 10 years of my career with the Navy, and enjoyed it immensely. Very challenging, very exciting, great people to work with. But then I left the Navy, went to private industry, and I spent about 3 years in private industry, became vice president and head of a cough center in industry, and then after a time, the Navy asked me to come back during the Reagan defense buildup to help them with that, and I did. I came back to the Navy, took another pay cut to go back, and spent a number of more years working my way up to the point where I became the head civilian in the weapons and combat system business for ships and submarines in the Navy. And then I left again to go to the Department of Energy, where they asked me to come over and be the project director for the Superconducting Super Collider project. And I spent some time there, then came back to the Navy once again to help with another transformation the Navy is going through, which is transforming itself into a network-centric organization. And that had enormous implications to everything that the Navy did on how it designed ships and airplanes and all the pieces on it, to how we were organized and how we budgeted. And so it was another very interesting challenge.
I guess you were meant to be in the Navy, right?
I guess I was, and I've enjoyed immensely working with the people there.
Now, of all those things you've done, Joe, what best prepared you for the position that you have now?
There were a couple. Each job, I think, contributed something. I've tended to have more of a military career than a civilian-type career, and that I've changed jobs every 3 or 4 years. And I've learned and moved around with most of those job changes. And so I've learned a lot of stuff. And my industry experience, I think, taught me how to manage costs and cost centers, how to make a profit, how to understand how much things cost and control those things better than any job I've had in government could have. The Super Collider experience helped me understand how Congress works, and when you're working on a big project with lots of money and visibility, the other things that you have to consider in management besides just meeting a cost and schedule. There's national, regional employment concerns and lots of other considerations that have to be taken into account. And then a couple of jobs I've had, I've created organizations from scratch. In other words, they gave me a charter and said, go build a warfare systems directorate, for instance, and here's a secretary and a charter and good luck. and so figuring out how to do that, and I've done that a couple of times, also helped because that was kind of what happened with this job. This job being PEO for information technology didn't exist. They asked me to go create it, and gave me I didn't even have a secretary. They gave me an office, and I started from there to put the organization together to be able to treat or deal with information technology at an enterprise level.
Well, speaking of your present job, tell us about it. What are your responsibilities as the Program Executive Officer for Information Technology?
The Program Executive Officer for Information Technology is the Enterprise Acquisition Manager for IT. So I buy IT for the enterprise. And in the past, we have bought IT at various levels in our organization, and each requirement was tailored to support one of our echelon commands or missions. And we found that in doing that, there was interoperability problems. There was problems talking to each other because there were no standards that were being imposed across. And we also had security issues with some of the places that made it difficult to exchange information with them. We had to go through firewalls, which again caused problems. And it wasn't particularly efficient. So as we were moving to a network-centric, if you will, or kind of organization where we're trying to speed up our decision-making, it's really what we're trying to do, is to use information so that a decision maker has in front of him the best information available to make a decision, and so he can make it quickly, that we needed to be able to share that information that was resident in all these different places around the world and be able to access it and get it in front of the decision maker very quickly and securely. So the PEO IT was created to do that, and we have kind of two big organizational chunks. One of which is to put the infrastructure in place, which is NMCI's job, so that we can move information seamlessly across the enterprise and enables that information flow and access so that everybody has access to the knowledge that's available to support their decisions. And then the other piece is to work on applications that are enterprise-wide applications. Some of the big projects we have are DIMERS, which is a joint OSD manpower and pay system. And the Navy is executive agent for that program for OSD, and PEOIT is the Navy executing organization. So the DIMERS program manager works for me, and we're responsible in that program to develop this system to a set of requirements given to us by OSD to support all personnel and pay for the Department of Defense. Big enterprise-wide system. We have some others that are Navy-wide systems that we also manage at the PEO. And that's our primary focus, is infrastructure to support information movement across seamlessly across and securely across the department, and then managing large applications that are used by many people across the department.
Let me just get some context. What's the relationship between your job and other IT professionals in the Department of the Navy? Do they all report to you? How does that work?
We have a couple of different relationships. We have a CIO for the Navy who is Dan Porter. We have the Marine Corps has a CIO and the Navy has a CIO as well. So there's a Department CIO, a Marine Corps, and a Navy CIO. And we have an Information Executive Council, which I'm a member of, that has those three CIOs on it and also comptroller folks and things like that to help with the financing of whatever great schemes we come up with. So they have operational responsibility, the CIOs for systems, and they have policy responsibility. I essentially am responsible for equipping. I do the equipping part of that of the mission, buying things that capability that those CIOs say they need, and then after I buy them, they're turned over to them to operate and maintain.
That's a great point for a break. We got to stop. Stay with us through the break. When we come back, we'll ask Joe Cipriano about one of the largest and most innovative contract awards ever made. If you don't know what NMCI is, you will when we continue with the Business of Government Hour.